Jesus, we thank you for your presence, dear Lord. Lord, I just thank you, dear Lord, as we proceed on with service, dear Jesus, to remind us of selfless acts, dear Lord, that the less selfish we are, the more selfless we are, dear Lord, the more energy you give us to do your will, dear Lord. Whether we're 65, 70, 45, 50, dear Jesus, you'll give us the strength to do your will. I pray right now, dear Lord, over my husband, dear Jesus. I pray over the message that you impartake in him this morning, dear Jesus, that it will flow from his tongue, dear Lord, and give us the energy that we need, dear Lord, to do your will, dear Jesus, to put us right in your presence, dear Lord, because of the faithfulness, dear Jesus, to be before your throne, dear Lord, to receive from first the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, and as the Holy Spirit ministers to him, you minister to us. We thank you, dear Lord, for this time together, dear Jesus. Help us to receive it as we should, dear Lord. Help us to take the information, dear Lord, and study as we should, dear Jesus. Help us to be a blessing to one another, dear Lord, as we receive with open hearts on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Plug your mic in.
Plug my mic in.
What?
It's right there. Is it there?
No,
oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. Are we live yet?
We've been live.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Praise the Lord. God is good. I always want to say something to our friends in Israel, but I'm going to wait on that because I'm perfecting my Hebrew. I want it to be Tamim. So I'm praying about the message this morning over there as I was invited to come down and pray if needed. Who is that kid? Security? No. So I'm over here and I'm praying and The Lord really wanted me to look at this message. It's been on my heart all week, okay? Okay. Coming out of Egypt is free. God says that's grace. Mm-hmm. Coming out of Egypt was grace. It's free. The journey is the most important part, okay? A lot of people come out of Egypt, okay? But when it came to crossing over into the promised land, there was only two of the original people that crossed over into the promised land, okay? Why? Why? And that is the beginning of the message today. Why? And God gave me this particular study because I was really into studying the Hebrew and gematrias this week. And God wanted to show me something. So if we're going to go over to the board for a Amen. Second, Pastor Ben.
Amen. Have and, before you go, I want to adjust the board.
Okay. I'll hold on. And we'll be back in two and two.
I need to show this way. There you go. Much better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Pastor. Can you deal with it like that, Pastor?
Yeah, that's perfect. And we're back. Okay, now. This is what the Lord wanted me to see. Okay, you see this right here? Abraham. What was his name before he was Abraham?
Abram,
okay? So, when God, when he believed the gospel, okay? It says Abraham believed the gospel and God accredited him righteousness, okay?
Yes.
Now, he believed the gospel. Now, after that, God added this letter to his name. It's the Hey, it's the Spirit of God, okay? So Olive Bed Gamel Delete, hay is the breath of God that breathed everything into life, okay? So God added to Abraham's name the hay, so now he had the breath of God. Why did God do that? Because he believed the gospel. If you believe the gospel, what do you get?
Life.
The Holy Spirit. God gives you the Holy Spirit. So God, since the Holy Spirit wasn't being given at that time, God wanted to do something that equates to what we get. So God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, adding the letter, which means the Spirit of God. Okay? Now, this would be in Hebrew, his numerical name, his name would be 801. But in Greek, the word, the faith, pistos, has also the same numerical value as 801, the same as Abraham's name. So you see how God takes the words and he says, okay, this word has to equal the same amount as him because he's the father of faith. So when he gets to the Greek, he says, now we're going to make the word in Greek spell faith, pistos, which is also 801, to let you know that it's completely connected to Abraham. Okay, now God does the same thing. What is this word right here? It's agape. What does it mean? Love. Okay, so now watch this. This means love. What does thelema mean? Does anybody know? Huh? This is will. That's thelema. That's will. Okay? So now God, in God's understanding, you can't have this without that. Okay? And I'm going to show you here. Now watch this. It says here, the reflective of the old age understanding that true love is an act of will. Okay?
Yeah.
So it is not your confession that God is after. He's after your confession to get you out of Egypt. But once he gets your confession, now he wants your will. Okay? I'm gonna show you something. And we won't look at it too long. Who is this guy?
Oh,
that's Jay-Z, right? Okay, what's on the front of that shirt that he has?
Do what thou wilt.
Do what thou wilt. You know where he got that from? The Church of Satan. It's the motto for the Church of Satan. It says, do thou wilt is the whole of the law for anyone who's worshiping Satan, which means don't do God's will. Do thou wilt, what thou wilt. Now, why would Satan want his church to be this, to be the motto of the Church of Satan? Because if you don't give your will over to God and you do what you will, that means you will never love God.
Wow.
Because to love God is to submit your will. This is a religion. It's called the Church of Thelema. It's of those who say, I will never submit to God. I will only do my own will. Okay? And so God made both words have the same numerical value, so you know that you can't have this without this. Okay? Because it doesn't mean anything to say, I love you, if it doesn't add any action.
Amen.
What does Jesus say here? Let's see. It says, this reflects the age-old Christian understanding that true love is an act of will. It is not a mere feeling as taught by Jesus Christ himself when he said, greater love hath no man that a man lay down his life for his friends. So he didn't just say he loved us. He put action into it. And then as he's putting action into it, he knows that his complete will has to be submitted to the Father. Why? He has to go to the cross. And if I had all power, I mean, like Jesus said, he's like, I can call 1,000 legions of angels and take care of all these people. If I had that type of power, if I had the power to come down off the cross okay? While you spitting at me, you in trouble. But Jesus, and they reviling him. Yeah. They're calling his mother names. Yeah.
Ooh, they sure
they were. They were telling him, you know, yeah, your mother, you're a child without a father and all of this stuff. They are spitting on him. But his will was submitted to God that I can't come down because of the benefit of the rest of the people. Yeah. You understand? So it was all about submitting your will, okay? Anyone can come out of Egypt. Okay, it was a free. God supplied everything for them to come out. The problem was, here we are on the journey, and guess who's on the journey? Satan is there on the journey, and he's testing your will because he knows you can't love God without a submitted will. So he's offering them things. Let's get drunk. Let's have fun. Let's fornicate. Let's do this. Let's do that. So they're walking through the journey. But now they're submitting to other gods. They're doing all kinds. I think like 23,000 or so got God killed because they were fornicating.
Yeah.
In one day, it's like, okay, this is what y'all want to do. Okay, in one day. So you have to understand that God understands this. Love is a matter of action and a submission of will. Love is not just, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Now I'm going to go back to doing everything I used to do. I'm not going to submit to you at all. God says, then you don't love me.
Right.
Okay, so let's look at some scripture here. So love and agape and thelema are married, okay? You can't have one without the other. I bet Drea would be like, you know, if you love me, you know what I mean? Can you be a husband and love me without cheating, right?
Right.
If I love, can I tell Drea, you know, I love you, I only cheat because.
Yeah,
no. Can I do that? You know what?
In her
thinking, it's like, it's the same as God. God is like, if you're doing that, you're telling me you don't love me because you don't have a heart to submit your will. You understand? And that's what I said before. Everybody needs to pray for a heart to want to submit to God. Okay? Because if you don't have a heart to do it, you just don't have a heart to do it. You know, let's read the scripture. Let's read the scripture.
Good.
But God told me while I was praying this morning, he said, hell does not discriminate. Heaven does not discriminate. Either you have the will to do it or you don't. And neither one of them discriminates. Okay? Because everybody wants to come out of Egypt. Nobody wants to take the journey and be obedient to God.
Right.
Okay? So, if you're in the book, let's go First John, okay, chapter 2, and I think we'll read verse 1-5. Here we are. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense. Somebody say good news.
Good news.
That's good news because, you know, it's hard to be a perfect Christian. I tried it. I became a Christian when I was 17. It is hard to be a perfect Christian. It's hard to be a perfect kid from birth to adulthood. You understand?
Amen.
And God knows when you become a Christian, you're just a baby who needs nurturing, who needs to grow up, who needs to mature, right? And so as parents, we issue to our children a certain amount of grace, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not slapping them around every time they spill a drink, right?
Right.
You making too much noise, get out of the house and go find a job. You know, I'm 4, you know, all that stuff. Nobody does this, right? So God is the same. He's nurturing us in our growth, okay? But he's trying to get you to the point where you submit your will, okay? Because when you learn how to submit your will to God, then you can say you love him, and now he can say, I have a mature child. Okay? So let's continue reading here. Okay. So it says that we have an advocate as the Father who speaks to the Father in our defense. And who is that? Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. How do we know if we've come to know him? If you obey his commands. Somebody, you mean like the Ten Commandments? Jesus has a whole lot of commandments, okay? He has, because the word of God is Jesus. Every scripture that says, be not drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus say that, or did Paul write it?
Jesus said it.
Jesus didn't say it. Paul wrote it, but they Jesus' words, because the whole volume of the book is from Jesus. So all of those, what you consider suggestions in the scripture are commandments, and God wants to know, are you going to keep it? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, I know she's not a Christian, she's a Buddhist, but I'll change her after we get married. See, that's not going to work, right? Because now you come out of obedience with God, and God says, okay, if you think you're smarter than me, go ahead. But it's not going to work, because first of all, you broke the commandment that Jesus says to be, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay. So now, so all of the word of God, they are his words, his sayings. And if you love him, you'll keep what he spoke. Okay.
Amen.
Now it says here, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay? So, does Jesus say in the word, let no filthy communication proceed from your mouth. That is not wholesome, right? So now, if you feel like, I don't like this person, so I got the right to curse them out, right? You've broken a commandment. So it shows God, you don't really, you don't love me. You haven't submitted your will to me, because in my word, it tells you not to do that. And you do it when you feel like it. So you're still not submitted to me. You understand? The whole thing about God is the journey. It's not coming out of Egypt. Anybody could come out of Egypt. I walked the aisles at 17, came right out of Egypt, and it confessed Jesus Christ, got baptized the same night, spoke in tongues, did everything. And when I got home, you know what God told me to do? Now nah, break up with your girlfriend. That was my dream at the time. I'm going to date a cheerleader. I'm going to play football. I'm going to date a cheerleader. You're sexually active. It's fornication. Break up with her tonight. That was the first test of my will. I called her and I broke up crying. Like, I don't want to do this. But this Holy Spirit inside of me is telling me that we can't be together no more. And I broke up with her. Why? Because I really wanted to be a Christian, okay? Now, I'm going to have trouble in my walk, but I can repent because I got an advocate, right? So I'm coming back to Christ. I'm sinning. I come back to Christ. But God is like, you know, if you have a child and they're always messing up, one day when they get it together and they're mature, you go, wow. You're so happy. You're like, you have your own job. You're making mature decisions. You're doing it, man. Now you're so proud. But when they're immature and acting foolish, it's a headache to you. It's like grieving the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm trying to raise them right, but they're not cooperating, right? So God wants us to become mature. And the only way to become mature is to submit your will.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you say you love God and do not commit to him, submit your will, then you don't love God. You understand? Okay, let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14.
Good word, man. Good word.
Oh, we're just beginning. We are just beginning. You're in chapter 14, I think it's verse 23. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So God is saying what? If you don't obey what Jesus spoke and what he wants you to do, okay? He's saying, my Father says they don't love you.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
I think in the Apocrypha, me and Pastor being read, he said, I brought you through the wilderness to see whether you love me or you hate me.
Yes.
And to us, it was like, that's, what do you mean you either love me or, can I love you or kind of like you? God says, I brought you through the wilderness. Instead of taking you straight to paradise, uh-huh. I brought you through the wilderness to see whether you love me or you hate me.
Yeah.
So God says it as one way or another. Either you can be submitted to me or you can't. And if you can't be submitted to me, you don't love me. But remember, heaven nor hell doesn't discriminate against anybody who wants to choose
right.
either one. You understand?
Right.
And that's where we get to this, because the next scripture says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things. So we all have this Spirit inside of us trying to mature us. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? By not, how do you grieve your parents?
Disheartened.
Not listening. Okay? Go to school, be quiet, do your work.
Right.
I'm going to go to school, talk while the teacher's talking, skip school. Okay? It's disrespectful to your parents, but God says, when you decide that you don't want to obey God and that you're more important than God and your decision is more important than God, then what you're saying is, I don't love you.
Right.
Okay? And you have to understand that. Submission of your will is proof yes. of love.
Yes.
I think every married person would agree with that.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Don't tell me.
Show me.
Don't bring me flowers and go do crazy stuff mm-hmm. and then bring me flowers and say, those other women mean nothing to me. These are for you, honey. Right? We can look at you like, I don't want those.
Right.
I want your will.
Yeah.
Because if I have your will, I have your love. Right?
That's right.
So listen, as I'm praying this morning, God says, look, hell does not discriminate. Don't think that you're special. Okay? Don't think you're special. Like, I can never go to hell. I'm not bad enough a person. All you have to do is say, I will not submit to God, and hell will not discriminate against you. Because it proves to God you don't love me. Okay? If you do your own thing, but in the back of your mind you know that Jesus is real, that means nothing to God. Only thing that means something to God is when the opportunity comes for you to make a decision, you choose God. I was working at the Vietnamese restaurant like last year, right? And it's in a hotel, right? So the guy's going, hey man, I got these girls, man. You want to go up to the room with us? I said, fool, no. I had to apologize to God for calling him a fool, but I mean, like, why would you ask me something stupid like that? I said, first of all, I'm a pastor.
Right.
So he's like, oh, I didn't know. He started doing all the Catholic stuff. I'm like, but see, listen, Satan don't care who you are.
Not care.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, don't tempt him. He is a pastor. No, Satan don't care. Let's give it a shot.
You're right.
Let's see what he submits to.
Amen.
And it's always going to be a matter of your choice. Yes. When the time comes.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. You pulled up in front of me and took my park. I can say, God bless you, no problem, take it. Or I can jump out and act crazy. Oh, you saw my car sitting there, and you and your mama, and you can do it.
Yeah, you can.
You can do it if you want.
Because
you don't have to submit to God.
That's right.
Okay? And that's what God is saying. Submit your will. Make your decisions on the fact that I love God too much to do that.
Yeah.
I love God too much to open my mouth right now because I don't think anything smart is going to come out. I just love God too
much. That's
good. Right?
Yeah.
That's submitting your will.
Pastor, hello from Turkey and hello from Germany.
Oh my goodness, Turkey. I've been studying all about Turkey,
and
man.
Germany.
Praise God. And Germany as well. God bless. Okay. So I want you to know, you see that?
Yeah.
Satan knows.
Yep.
That the religion is called Thelema. It's called Thelema. Know what Thelema means? Will. And their motto is what?
Do
as thou wilt. That's the whole of the law. Do whatever you want. Don't submit to God. Do what you want. Okay? And so understand this. Okay, here, let's move on now. Because we got more. Now I got to go to my book. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Because we're living in some absolutely crazy times. Okay?
Ignorant times.
They do stuff and they expect you not to see it. Do you know right now, if you say, I'm not saying it, YouTube, that 9/11 was an inside job right here from the United States, they will tag you on YouTube. Like, you can't say that. If you say that the astronauts never went to the moon, they will tag you like, hey, you can't say that, right? Because when we teach you to be dumb, you've got to be dumb. You understand? You got to believe what it looks like, okay? And so as we're watching things going on in life and we're watching what's going on, they expect for you to not see it and to pretend as if, you know, everything is okay, okay? And God is telling you, look, there is an element in this world that hates you and that you're going to have to understand that this is a spiritual war. Please listen to me. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is bigger than you.
Yes.
God is asking you to be a part of it so that you can have eternal life, so that you can know what it's like to live forever in a body that doesn't get sick.
Yes.
And travels where it wants and is in complete union with God. God is trying to give you eternal life, okay? This is bigger than you because, see, the war is on.
Yeah.
Okay? Here, let's read this. You're in Deuteronomy chapter 3.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's start at verse 3. It says, so the Lord our God also gave into our hands Og, the king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, having no survivors. At that time, we took all his cities. It says, there was no one of the 60 cities that we did take from them. The whole region of Argob, or of Og's kingdom in Bashan, all these cities were fortified with high walls and with gates and bars, and there were also great many
unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them as we had done to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, destroying every city, man, women, and children. But all the livestock and the plunder of the city we carried off for ourselves. Who told them to go and destroy all these cities and to kill every man, every woman, and every child? Who told them to do that? God. Why? Is God mean? Did he not care about the children? Or did God know something that you don't know? Right? Because if we have in this world what you call Nephilim, okay, and these Nephilim are having children by women, and these Nephilim know that God is going to give Israel and these territories to the Jews, now he sent out his little demon Nephilim to infiltrate the areas and mess up the DNA of the human beings in all of these areas where now these children are going to be giants. And God is like, they have completely defiled this whole area with a foreign gene that comes from angels, which is not supposed to be mixed with humans. This is bigger than you. The war started because of Satan's rebellion. And now you have 200 angels who says, hey, let's take human wives and have children with them. So now there's Nephilim in the world. And the scripture says before the flood and after the flood, there was Nephilim. So after the flood, God still has a problem. He's got to get these people out of the world. Amen. Okay?
Amen.
So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15.
Robert said, you can't even tell them apart.
You can't. And that's what we don't understand. We do not understand.
Where are we reading from, Pastor?
1 Samuel chapter 15. And let's see. We're going to start reading at verse 2. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camel, everything. And donkeys.
Everything.
Because the scripture says the Nephilim even defiled the animals.
Yes.
So you got to understand, in this world they have what they call, I don't even want to go there. They're crazy, okay? I don't even, God's like, they're crazy, okay? You said animals, yeah, they're crazy, okay? Understand, you're talking about an evil entity that now lives, that's in the world. So when God says, go and destroy everything, he means it.
Yeah.
Saul comes back and says, I did exactly what you told me. And he says, well, what are those sheep beeping in my ear then?
Right.
You didn't do what I said. I said, kill everything. You're a child. You don't understand what I'm doing. I'm trying to get all of this Nephilim gene pool out of the world. And you're letting things live, so now we have a problem. You understand? Mm-hmm. So don't think that God, because some of the Muslims used to say, see here how cruel the God of the Old Testament was. He killing the men, the women, and but they don't understand what God is doing. These are not humans.
Right.
These are defiled, gene pool messed up, demonic spirits that are living in the world. And look. He said, kill the men, the women, and their children. They're having babies.
Right.
Nephilim women and Nephilim men are having babies.
Yep.
They're spreading out in whole communities in the world. If God doesn't do something, the whole world would be contaminated. Yep. So God's like, using the Jews, and you wonder why they hate the Jews. God used the Jews. I'm going to send you in there. Don't look at the size of them, because I'm going to be with you. We're going to destroy them all, but they're bigger than us. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. Don't worry about that. I'm going to be with you. And they would go in and destroy men, women, children, cattle, whatever they had, because God was trying to get this demonic gene pool out of the world. Uh-huh. Okay?
Amen.
So now that you understand and know that, listen to this. When Obama writes, "We remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger," yep, on the One World Trade Center,
yep,
and he has a portrait painted of him with six fingers, then you're like, who's he talking to? What do you mean? Is he talking about America we rebuild? No, he's a Nephilim. He's saying, because this is how you know. He knows that that WWW is Vav, Vav, Vav is 666. So as he's writing it, he's paying homage to the Satan that he serves. So he's saying, we, and he writes it three times. Why didn't he write it four times?
Look at that.
Because your WWW is Vav, Vav, Vav in Hebrew, and Satan knows this, okay? So understand what they're doing. You understand? Understand what he was doing. He was sending a message to his leader telling them, okay, look, we remember that God destroyed our children, our wives, and our cattle and everything, and destroyed our communities. And he says, we remember, we rebuild, and we come back stronger. So are they back? Yes. You better believe it. Yes. You better believe it. And our whole problem is we don't believe the war is bigger than us, okay? I sent a video out on my Facebook, 100 kids in an airplane being transported from Africa to Europe.
Yeah.
Okay, all the kids are crying. The pilots are saying, that someone told us to go pick up these 100 kids and bring them to Europe, and we thought it's a humanitarian effort that we're just pilots. We have we don't know anything about it.
Trafficking.
And they have about 10, 15 adults on, but they got over 100 little African children. They're being transported for what?
Trafficking.
For trafficking, for pedophilia, for carnivores. This, see, we don't believe this is going on because we think the war is only Christians against non-believers. No, this is God against a demonic world, okay? So they arrest everybody on the plane. They set them all down, they handcuffed all of them, and they put them all in prison. And they took those kids back and found out they weren't even orphans. They all had parents. So these kids were kidnapped. What were they going to use the children for? And who could do that?
Yeah.
Okay, who could do that? We don't believe that a war is going on in front of us, okay? So God knows this. And now this brings us to Revelation chapter 6 and 7. Let's go there.
Yeah, good word.
God knows this. That's why he's giving you an invitation to leave. Do you understand this? God is giving you an invitation to leave. In the rapture, for the wedding feast, he's giving you an opportunity. Why? Because God knows I've planned 7 years of tribulation for the world, and I don't want my bride there when it happens. So now here you have the opportunity to leave. And I'm not sending the invitation out to just Christians. He said to anybody in the whole world who wants to accept Christ, you don't have to be here and see what is really going on behind the scenes if you want to leave. Okay? If you want to leave.
Yeah.
But you're not going to leave by saying, I believe that Jesus, coming to my life, be my Lord and Savior. Now it's time to go back sinning.
Right.
You can't do that.
It doesn't work like that.
Because now you're like one of those Christians that's sitting in the world going, but I got baptized.
I'm saved, always saved, yeah.
We don't even have, you don't have, you know, the Bible preaches against that. You don't, we don't even have to say it. The Bible preaches against it. So we know that if I'm going to come into Christ, I want to submit my will. Okay. Okay. Let's continue.
Amen.
Because I could get on a big one on that. Okay. You in Revelation chapter 6? Okay. Now, Deborah, one of our members who lives in Canada with the two girls that are going to be talking her ear off when they get to heaven, because her two girls, they can't talk now because they took this, the vaccine, okay? You don't let them, don't let your kids take no more shots. Tell them no thank you, okay? We choosing not to, because they gave, her girls were active, talking, doing everything, but God showed me in a dream that they were talking her ear off. Like I'm like watching them, and she's with her two girls, and they're talking so much, she's like, she can't listen to both of them at the same time. So I know God has the victory in this, but understand. Well, she asked me a question, and the question was, the multitude of people that are in heaven. In chapter 7, why does it say there's so many that you can't count? And I never thought about that. Because those are people that came out of the tribulation.
Yeah.
Why does the scripture say there's so many that you can't even count how many there are? That means a lot of people come to their senses after the at the end of the tribulation or during the tribulation, they're coming to their senses. That's not God's plan.
Yeah.
God's plan is that you come to your senses now so that you don't have to go through that time, right? Because, okay, now watch. Let's read this. Okay. Chapter 6. Do I really want to read it? Yeah, let's go to verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. Because all this stuff's going on during the tribulation, the Antichrist has come, price of food has gone up, says pestilence and diseases like the coronavirus that they invented, that they had to invent, because you can't predict a virus is coming if you're not creating it.
Predict a virus.
And Daryl Gates has a special on Netflix predicting that a virus was coming to China.
Mm.
And he does this video 8 months ago.
Wow. Coincidence.
And he says it could kill 65 million people. He hopes, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
But they have the ability to start a virus in the world, okay? And if you say AIDS was a created virus, they go, oh, no, it was created in, you know.
It was created.
Listen, bird flu. I ain't heard a bird sneeze yet. There's no bird flu.
Bird what?
Now they're saying, oh, this one came from bats. But they know that create viruses and they implement them into the society, right? Now, God says during the tribulation, they're going to do this, okay? But it's going to kill a lot of people, okay? So, remember, you already have an invitation not to be here.
Amen.
All you have to do is love God.
Yeah.
By doing what? Submitting your will, right? Okay.
Somebody said there are a lot of birds out there sneezing.
Yeah, a lot of birds. Oh, don't sneeze on a human. I wouldn't want them to catch this. Just get out of here. But you know, we're supposed to, like, I'm training you to be dumb. Just be dumb. Believe what I say, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So in verse 12, it says, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake, okay? The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat's hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs dropped from the fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll. I want you guys to know that's going to happen. What you're looking at is a tallit covering the world.
Yes.
You understand? It's covering so that you can't see who's behind it. Okay? So it says the sky receded like a scroll rolling back, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the princes and the generals and the rich men and the mighty and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks and the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the lamb. They're scared of a lamb, or is he a lion? Okay. And it says, for the great day of their wrath, who is there? Father, Son, Holy Spirit? The great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? Now, here we come. This is the end of the tribulation. Listen, it says, after this, chapter 7, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds. The earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel coming from the east having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the forehead of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of what?
Israel.
Not Jehovah Witness.
Amen.
They tried to get me on Thursday. I was like, oh, I gotta go. I can't talk right now. But I wish I could have. Then, okay, so then it tells you the 12 tribes. 12,000 from Judah, 12,000 from Reuben, 12,000 from Gad, 12,000 from Asher, 12,000 from Naphtali. And it gives you all that. And then in verse 9, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I'm going to stop reading right there, because this is the thing. You're reading, when you're reading this, people are going, oh, this is like a fairy tale. The same God that said, that saying this is going to happen, mm-hmm. is the same God that made Israel come back into existence.
Yep.
The same God that said this is going to happen, said Hitler would come to, would be, that the, that Israel would be in Germany, Hitler would come and gives you the exact date he would die, the year he would die, and tell you how, when the, his 10 henchmen would die. All prophesied to the year to tell you, so that you know when God speaks, he's telling you about something that's going to happen. What I'm reading to you is a reality of what's coming.
Yes.
Why? Because everything he's written in the book has come.
Yes. 10 minutes, man.
So listen, God says, heaven and hell does not discriminate. If you want to believe, you can. If you don't want to believe, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But the invitation to go into the kingdom before the trouble comes is being extended to you. Okay, let's finish reading it. It says, as I looked, there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne
and to the Lamb. Multitudes from all over the world. What happened during the tribulation that they're all saying, we now believe in Jesus. Do you know how most of them died? They were beheaded. And then I say, oh, they just built, and I didn't say it, the guy who was head of the FBI said, hey, I'm thinking. He said, I'm gonna tell you something. They just ordered 30,000 guillotines and they're keeping them at a concentration camp in Georgia. He said, I'm telling you this, okay? God says in Revelation chapter 20, they will be beheaded, right? So I'm just saying, when God says something, he didn't say, oh, they're gonna be hung. He said, no, they're gonna be beheaded during the tribulation, okay? Then I tell you, and then all of course, after he tells the whole world they just ordered these guillotines, all of a sudden he dies of anthrax poisoning.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden he dies. Because you're not supposed to know that.
Right. Not yet.
Tribulation's supposed to sneak up on you. Who won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to worry about, right? We got to wake up. The invitation is out. It says here in verse 11, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. I want to be praising God.
Yeah.
Then one of the elders asked me, listen to this question. These in white, who are they and where did they come from? This is at the end of the tribulation. The church is already here. Who are these people? He says, I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They repented during the tribulation. And God is so merciful. He's like, I know you missed the rapture, but anybody who still wants this, I'll bring you in.
Yeah.
Don't tell me God is in love.
Merciful.
It says, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Now, there's a certain hunger that Jesus is talking about. I have other things that suffice my hunger, okay? Which is the work of God, okay? This hunger is a physical hunger, okay? So he's saying these people were on the earth and they were hungry. Why would they be hungry? You can't buy or sell nothing without the mark. And I think if anybody helped you out, they would be in trouble.
Yeah.
They have a thing right now that in martial law, no one's allowed to have fruit trees in their backyard. And I can show you that document. You cannot grow anything or have fruit trees in your backyard. And that's in one of the documents when they started building the concentration camps. So they're going to make sure you don't get anything unless they have orchestrated it.
Yeah.
Woo. It says, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat.
Ooh.
That judgment came from God.
Right.
Are you free from the judgment because you're on earth and you gave your life to Christ? No. Judgment is here. Whatever comes, comes. You're a part of tribulation. You understand? It says, for the Lamb at the corner, at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That's people coming in at the end of the tribulation. I pinched myself with a pen the other day. I want no pain. It hurt. I don't want to feel nothing. I don't even like a cold. You know what I mean? People committing suicide. I was like, ain't no way I'm jumping nothing. I'm
some sleeping pills and some jazz. Right? Y'all would feel no pain, right? Jump. Are you crazy?
Right,
they are.
Well,
but understand this. God's invitation to you is you don't have to see the tribulation. The invitation to the wedding is out.
Yes.
Jesus is getting married. And the invitation is out to everybody. Whether you're a good person or a bad person, the invitation is out. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And you don't have to. And now, if I'm a non-believer and I'm hearing this, you know what I'm going to say? Wow, I don't have to go? I don't have to be a part of that? I'm going to tell my family. Because I love them, right? I don't want them to experience it either. So I love them. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Why? Because I don't want anybody to go through this, right?
Yeah.
But the invitation is out and it's free now. This is the danger, and this is why God had me come. And he said, you know, get your thing, go over there and pray. Because I was liking the song. So I was just going to stand there and say, no, I want to talk to you. Go pray. So I prayed. And the Lord said, look, coming out of Egypt is grace. That's free. That's the free gift.
Yeah.
Ta-da! I'm no longer in Egypt.
Right.
You're no longer a slave. Now, let's see the journey. Let's see what you're going to do on the journey. Because either you're going to love God or you hate him. Either you're going to submit your will or you're going to live like Jay-Z and say, my will be done. Right? Because you can do your will or you can do God's will. But I want you to know God is aware when you make choices.
Yes, he is.
And he's thankful and happy. And I believe God celebrates when his children make mature decisions.
Yes.
And I think it grieves the Holy Spirit when you decide, I don't want to be obedient to God. I'd rather go to hell or I'd rather see tribulation. That grieves God.
Yeah.
That grieves the Holy Spirit, okay? We have all come out of Egypt.
Yes.
The journey. We're still in the journey, you understand?
Yeah.
Don't you think for one second, and everybody up there in YouTube, don't you think for one second, Deborah put out a video, and it was called Not Getting Trap Right Before the End, or something like that, or not falling into the trap right before the end, right? Before the judgment. And basically her video was to warn people, like, because we're at the end, more temptation is going to come. Temptation is still going to come. Because Satan, all the way up to the last second, believes that he can pull you back into the world.
Yeah.
And you said, no one can snatch me out of Jesus' hand. Satan is not trying to snatch you out. He's just trying to get you to walk out of his hands. He's over here going, all this can be yours if you would bow down and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not snatching you out. You have the ability to say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You have the ability to do what you want, right? So we have to continue our walk. You have to continue to stay in your word. My son was at prayer this morning. Praise God.
Amen.
He tells me, he said, I read my Bible every day, Dad. I'm all right. I'm just working because he's falling in love with money. He can buy stuff. You know, you're 19 years old. You got a $900 check. It's like, I'm a millionaire and I don't have to pay rent. You know? So I know he's enjoying it, but man, am I pleased when I went in one day and he was praying. I was like, oh. You're so good, God. I started doing the apostolic thing, boy. Went back in the living room. I love it,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
God is pleased that way when he sees you in your word,
yes.
All right? So praise God. Let's enjoy the rest of our day. And God bless you. I'm going to pray for our YouTube family and for our family here.
Amen.
Because God loves you, man. I rejoice over the opportunity to be with you guys forever. Because
yeah.
I think we're going to have some stories and some parties and some dancing.
Yeah.
I think we're going to, just from being close here going through this together, we're going to be a special type of family, you know? So Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for this day. I thank you for our S4C family, Father God, both here, Father God, and everywhere in the world, in Turkey and in Germany and Australia, Hong Kong, everywhere, Father God. Israel, I just thank you, Father God, for what you've done. And we just ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you give them a heart and a will to serve you and to fight for what God has given them, eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor, they said thanks from Japan.
All right. Is that, that's not ni hao, though. Is that ni hao? What's Japan?
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa? Ah, really? All right.
Man.
That was it. That's
amen.